We're going to be looking at the spiritual disciplines that we have to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And today we'll be looking at prayer. Now, if you remember Terry speaking, do you remember his shiny bucket that he had, all lovely on the outside, glowing Terry? And then it's on the inside that we need to be changed so that we have hearts that are like his. So you would think that prayer would be quite an easy thing, wouldn't you, really? Oh, yeah, it's talking, chatting. And yet we do hear the disciples. This is one of the one things that they asked Jesus, like, Lord, teach us to pray. So obviously not quite as easy as we might think then. And this is the instructions that he was given. This then is how you should pray. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. As we also forgive everyone who sins us against us. And lead us not into temptation. Now, most of you might know, but some of you don't, that I actually started a new job and now work for 24/7 prayer. And actually, if you go onto their website, Prayer Course, they do have a really good course if you wanted to sort of like reignite your prayer, to learn to pray around this prayer. You can find it there. Actually, when I had a look, they've actually got a couple of more courses that you could look at. And you can just do these online. I think some house groups have done them. Another course they now do is Unanswered Prayer. And I would highly recommend a book called God on Mute, Where is God When Our Prayers Aren't Answered. And they also have a course called Lectio 365. So those are some instructions about how we can pray. And those that listen to the Lectio, you might be familiar with this. This is how to pray. Pause to be still, so we can start our prayer time by being still. Very countercultural already, isn't it? Being still. We can reflect and rejoice in God's blessings and reflect on his word so that we are focusing our eyes on him. And we're thankful, as we've heard this morning, we can be thankful of the things that God has done. And reflect on his word, who is he? And then we come to a place of asking. And we ask for our daily bread and the needs that we are aware of. Now, I think, you know, we say, well, God is always present, so why would we need to ask? Surely he knows all these things. But asking is part of relationship, isn't it? It's talking, it's offering, builds our relationship with him. And it stops us from being very self-sufficient and independent. I don't actually need anything. I can do it all. I've got a job. I've got some money. But if we're looking to him and we're asking for him to work, we're turning our face towards him and turning our dependence away from ourselves and looking to be dependent on him. And then yield, probably not our favourite type of prayer, yielding, surrendering, offering ourselves to God. But I think it's in this place of yielding that we actually expand our heart and our soul as to being more like him. So we have asking prayer, and that's just in its simplest form. We're just asking for things, just as our children ask us. We're just asking. We've got intercession prayer, and that's at its most powerful. And this is probably what David was referring to. Our God moves in power. And when we come to that place of intercession, that's where God has placed something in our hearts. And I think we pray from a very different place, filled with the Spirit, filled that we've got God's heart and God's agenda for something. And this is our place of intercession. And we have contemplation prayer. And this is at its most deepest and most personal place of prayer. This will be where our transformation takes place. So this morning I won't be looking more at the asking or the intercession, the powerful place of prayer. I'm going to talk more about a contemplation. What is contemplative prayer? So we're looking at some spiritual disciplines as part of our series, and in Richard Foster's book, Streams of Living Water, he describes different parts of our Christian walk, and part of a charismatic stream of Christian life and faith focuses upon the power and the empowering gifts of the Spirit and nurturing the fruits of the Spirit. And I think this is us, isn't it? A charismatic church. We'll be hungering for prophecy. We'll be hungering for those powerful gifts. That there are fruits of the Spirit, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I think the danger of being part of a charismatic church is actually we can end up just seeking the hand of God. And I think God calls us into that intimate place. He wants us to be seeking his face first. Out of that will come our gifts. Should I say, out of that will come God's gifts, sorry. If you're hungering for a prayer-filled life, a richer, fuller practice of the presence of God, it's the contemplative stream of prayer that we need to be looking at. And this is the way into intimacy with God. Just being still, those contemplative practices, and I'll look at a few of those later. So what does prayer look like for you? I'm just going to play a short video.
Yeah, so I wrote this book with three groups of people in mind: saints, sleepwalkers, and skeptics. And looking back on my own life, I would say I have identified with each of those three people somewhere along the way. And maybe that's why I'm able to recognize those stages in the spiritual journey for so many others. I certainly came into faith as a skeptic. I kind of tell that story in the first part of the book, and prayer was what moved me from skepticism to belief. It was the experience that I had with God alone in prayer that was not curated for me by a religious professional of any kind, but simply was an encounter with the living God. And while I have had ups and downs in my faith journey since, I wouldn't say I've ever drifted back to skepticism. I think I've questioned the expression of my faith at different times, but I have not questioned the reality of the living God revealed to us in Jesus, because I have never found another way of understanding and exploring life. Nothing that makes life livable like Jesus makes life livable. I got a very unexpected, very significant diagnosis this year, and that required a lot of processing with God. It led to a period of uncertainty, and there was good news at the end of that diagnosis, but it wasn't instant, and so that required me to invite other people into my weakness, which, to be completely honest, is not something I'm great at. And so I very intentionally re-entered experiences of uncertainty and prolonged periods of retreat and prayer with God to interact with my fear and hopefully hold it before him and allow him to heal it. So much of the fruit of prayer comes after you stop praying. I could tell you story after story after story of a prayer prayed for me at a particular moment that brought me to tears, or of a moment when I was alone and I experienced God's forgiveness covering my shame in ways that truly have rewritten my inner world and my emotions. And so I've experienced God, as it says in Romans 5, pouring his love into my heart through the Holy Spirit. And prayer's been the primary practice where I've experienced that. And prayer's also been the hidden secret practice behind all of the best stories I've got to tell about God's power in the world today. Every story that I have worth telling starts with prayer, was fueled by prayer, and ends in prayer. And so I believe that prayer releases power. Jesus makes this claim really clear, and it's incomprehensibly simple and beautiful, and most of us don't ever take him up on the offer like he really means it. And if my life means nothing else, I hope my life is just an example of a foolish kid who never quite grew up, who still believes that Jesus is exactly who he says he is, and takes him up on his offer when it comes to prayer.
So that's a short testimony from Tyler. I would just like to add a bit of a caveat to this video. It's a year and a half old. He was diagnosed with cancer, as he shared, but 6 months after this, he was diagnosed with another cancer, a much more serious cancer affecting all of his internal organs. And now he is in a place of remission, But I would really encourage you to listen to his other video, which is called Spiritual Transformation After His Cancer Journey. Just what God was doing within him as he submitted his time to God. But what I love about that is that, you know, he said, makes life livable. I mean, that's what we need, isn't it? We need our lives to be made livable. And through prayer, God rewrote his inner world. Now, that's what we're looking for, isn't it? As we're looking at transformation, for our inner world to be rewritten. There's a line in a song which really stands out to me that is my heart, my soul, is it a garden tomb or is it heaven's resurrection room? And that's what Jesus wants to do in us, that our hearts are his resurrection place. That's where Jesus wants to live and wants to be. So what does prayer mean to you and to me? Well, I remember when I first became a Christian, our dear friend who's no longer here, Beryl Sharp, had a course written, and asked Diane, I thought it was called Start Right, Diane thought it was First Steps, but whatever it might be called, thankful for being there. But the one thing that I really came away with was this, should be the most intimate relationship we have. And yet somehow it's still quite difficult. Apart from my relationship with Jesus, the most intimate relationship I should have would be with Terry. Now, it's quite easy when Terry, well, I find it easier when Terry is there to have that intimate relationship of just chatting about our days and being open. But actually, Terry works away 2 days a week, so that means our relationship is more on the phone. So our relationship then, when I can't see Terry, he's very gracious with me, can be a bit more like this. Hi, Sarah. Hi, Terry. Yak, 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 yak. Oh, look at the time. I must go. Brrr. So I think that's not quite really a relationship, is it? That's not quite the conversation that we should be having. That is not, well, I'm doing a lot of talking. But conversation is supposed to be two ways, isn't it? I should be pausing. Maybe this is more of a problem for women, but I can just be chatting. But I should be pausing conversation. It should be two-way. A part of that conversation should be me being quiet, me being still, me listening, and me asking questions as well. Now, I won't name this man because I think it is... Yeah, and he offers Soren Kierkegaard, and I think there was a funny O, so I don't know what that meant, but I couldn't find it on the keyboard. A man prayed, and at first he thought prayer was talking. But he became more and more quiet until in the end he realised that prayer is actually more listening. And my life isn't often more listening, it is more talking. Inviting God to come along with me with my plans, me unpacking my day, me having a bit of a grumble. But this contemplative prayer, this listening prayer, this intimate prayer should be more a place of listening. And when we look in Matthew, just before the Lord's Prayer is given in the Message version, it says this. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God and you will begin to sense his grace. It's not always a great reality for me to sit in that place. And yet this is our instruction. It's not to be filling it with my babble, but just to be still. And this is what contemplative prayer is. It's simply seeking union with God and is characterised by quiet and stillness and resting in God's presence. It's about abiding in his presence. That's quite difficult, isn't it, to summarise. What does that mean? What does that feel like, abiding in God's presence? And there's a lovely quote, and it's actually from Thomas Keating, I think, who was a monk. This presence is so immense, yet so humble. awe-inspiring, yet so gentle. Limitless, yet so intimate, tender and personal. I know that I am known. Everything in my life is transparent in his presence. He knows all about me, all my weaknesses, my brokenness, my sinfulness, and still, he loves me intimately. This presence is healing, strengthening, refreshing, just by his presence. It is like coming home to a place I should never have left, to an awareness that was somehow always there, and yet I didn't recognize. And Tim Mackey just comments on that. Knowing this kind of loving presence hovering in every moment of our lives is his own category of experience. In fact, it's not an experience at all. It's a way of existing, of living every moment in the awareness that one's whole life is permeated by the very presence of God. And often we can think of prayer and of God's presence, and we visit it. And we experience being present there for a moment, but the invitation actually is to make it a place of habitation, a place that we always sensing God's presence. Because we know that God is with us, God is always with us, he's omnipresent. And prayer is a discipline of being attentive to God's presence. Some quotes by Henri Nouwen. So it's quite difficult, isn't it? In our world, we're so full of distractions. How do we be attentive to that presence, to the whisper of the Holy Spirit, knowing the fullness of everything that I've just described as we go about our day? We live in a world that is very busy, caused, and so we're so distracted by so many different things. It's very difficult for us to take time to be still. And this is a quote from Tyler from within his book of what happens when we are still. Stillness before God transforms us into unhurried love. It is in the stillness of silent prayer that God turns over the soil of our hearts, revealing our desires to us and the source of their fullest satisfaction. When we stop moving, stop talking, and arrive present and quiet before God, he takes all of our disordered desires, our distorted attachments and codependencies, and he transforms them into love. And here we have that lovely Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. I think one of the reasons we're so busy is we don't actually really like what's going on inside often. So we like try, you know, Tyler talked about his shame, his fears, his anxieties. We are always shaped from the moment that we're born. We are being shaped. We are being shaped by our relationships. We're being shaped by our experiences. Those are the things that happen to us. And then, of course, we're shaped by the things we choose to do. We're shaped by everything that we watch, everything that we read, everything that we listen to. All of those things will shape us. They will form us. But if we're still before God, that is where we need our formation to take place. We need to be shaped and transformed by being in his presence. So here are a couple of contemplative prayer practices. I don't know, a year ago I did a course and joined a new monastic order. So sort of based along the old monastic traditions. So I've been experimenting with a few of these. And so we have breath prayer. I don't know if anybody's heard of all these things, but so breath prayer is you just breathe in. So for an example, you know, breathe in, you're a God of hope, I trust you. And you breathe out, fill me with your joy and with your peace. And there's meditation, as we meditate on scripture and lectio. People might have heard of lectio, but you imagine yourself in God's story and allow God to speak to you through those. And at the moment, a bit of a challenge of my silence, I'm practicing silent prayer, just centering prayer. I've got to 15 minutes of just being still and just allowing myself to be in God's presence. 5 minutes at first sounded like a really long time, but I have moved on. But it's a real challenge to keep our head quiet because it's just full. Or maybe just get to be a girl's thing. It's constantly full of my list of things I need to be doing and all thoughts, but just saying, yeah, thank you, not listening to you now, and just focusing in on God. And perhaps during the Toronto blessing, you remember the soaking times where you would just be lying on the floor with worship music and just soaking in God's presence. And then the prayer of examine is another one, and that is just you focus at the end of the day. Now, I practiced this, and I didn't do very well. By the end of the day, if I close my eyes and reflect on anything, well, thank you and good night, you know, I've gone. So I tried to do my sort of like, it's just during the day, I have a touch point with God, sort of like at midday. Thank him for where I've seen God being at work in my life during the day. Having a little reflect back as, oops, didn't do that too well. Really need to have a rethink there and a time of confession. And then looking forward to the afternoon. If you were doing it this at night, you'd look forward to the next day. Just inviting God into the next part of my day. And so these are some of the practices that we can do that are contemplative practices. So what happens then when we spend our time just in God's presence? This is the place where we want to end up as we have focused it. Rather than being transformed by all the things that we're looking at, reading at, hearing, and what's going on whatever program it is that you watch, and being transformed by some of the world stuff. When we come to that place of just contemplating and focusing on Jesus and his presence, 2 Corinthians gives us what will happen to us here. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with every increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Oh, sorry. So prayer, listening, abiding prayer, it's not a work that is done by us. It's a work that is done by the Holy Spirit. We just have to be the ones that are open, that position ourselves, that surrender, and allow him to be at work within us. Thank you. But we're not monks, are we? Last time I looked around, I didn't see any monks, I didn't see any nuns. So we're not just spending our day as those do in monasteries, just with like 7 rhythms of prayer, a little bit of work, going back to prayer. We are going to work, people, we're busy, we have lives and we have families. So there is hope for us that we're not all called into monastic communities. So the invitation is to take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, glad that's in there, and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. Fix your attention on God and you will be changed from the inside out. So we need to be intentionally attentive, and contemplative prayer is the practice of attention. Are we intentional in our attention to the presence of God? And there's some great books. I mean, a good old classic, isn't there? Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence, He was doing the dishes, very busy. He was managing to practice the presence of God there. Just being tucked in, it's like we need to try to operate on two levels, isn't it? We've got our going around our everyday work life, but then inside we need to be tuned to the presence of God, that awesome presence of God, that intimate place with him, so that in our doing and our busyness and the necessary things we need to do, that we're interruptible to what he wants us to do. So I can be going about, oh, there's Terry on the phone. Terry might have been having a bad day. Maybe I need to stop, ask some questions, listen to him and be there for him. Not just, well, I'm doing this, which is definitely, I am, Terry, I am a doer. I have my tick lists. I like to do things. I find it very difficult to be still. My brain's always going with stuff. But just learning to also, as well as that, because God knows me, he made me, he knows who I am and what I'm like. But to also be having that other track running, that I am so in touch with who God is and his presence at that moment, that he can choose to use me to speak to somebody, to bless somebody. That I can show his love to people and not just so focused on the things that I have in mind. And I think within here, this is where we come to the part that, you know, the bit I mentioned earlier, the yielding bit, the bit that we don't really like. The surrender. And as we spend time, I think God reorders our priorities as we spend time with him. And just want to give a short testimony of something that happened earlier this year. So I'd been doing some of these prayer practices, just practicing being still, trying to listen. I found that my prayer life was starting to change and how I was praying for things changed. But it always comes with a little caveat, doesn't it? But all normally change, we all go deeper in God in painful situations. That's a much easier place to dig deep because that's out of our control. We cannot do anything, it's out of our control. And that is when we find it easier to push into God because we can't fix it. And yet there's also that invitation to almost make life uncomfortable because I'm choosing to listen and to take that invitation that God has. So one of the prayers that I was having was like, gosh, our biggest challenge, God, is we're comfortable. Most of us, life is normally quite comfortable. We can sort of have ebb and flows, but here I think in the Western world predominantly, it can be our comfort. So I'd been praying along those lines, just offering and surrender. And I bumped into a lady at work. Oh, there's a new job coming up. We've got a job. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that sounds exciting. So I go, oh, you know, well, I have worked at Waverley. I've worked here for, it would have been 15 years in March. Probably about the fourth longest serving member. Know where I'm going, know what I'm doing. I'm employed. Got varying skills that people can draw upon while I'm there. So do I choose? The invitation was to leave. Oh dear, this isn't very good. Okay, so it's a 6-month contract. Well, I've actually got a full-time contract. Oh, so well, I'm just being employed for 6 months. Do I get any pension contribution? Do I get holiday allowance? Took a couple of days to get back. Oh no, actually, anything under a year, you're self-employed. Oh, right. Well, I've never been self-employed. Now, for Terry, this isn't an issue. Terry's been employed for years, self-employed for years. So he has walked out that uncertainty. I, on the other hand, haven't. And having been a single mum for 10 years, for me, it was just so important that I've got a job, I've got to provide for these children and for myself. And so it's a different role I had carried, really, that pressure that I ought to have all these things. And yet I knew, because of what God had been doing in my heart, this was his invitation to me to step out. And I think there was a couple of words here one morning, and it's like, yeah, okay, I'm getting out of the boat. Here I am. Now, sounds okay, a little bit nervous, but then obviously you get out of the boat, you get wet feet. I said, oh gosh, this isn't very nice. Kept looking back. Oh, but yeah, and this is it, isn't it? We want to go back to where we were comfortable, to where things were. But it's surrendering, ultimately, when we're walking with that intimacy with God, it's surrendering to his will and not my own. So I have taken that step. We can yield in our prayers. There's an invitation for more. And yet often we don't want to take it because we like to be comfortable. And again, I would just say, I'm just happy to put it out there. If God is inviting you into something, to journey with him, it's trust. It's trust. And as part of my course I'm on at the moment, I have to have some spiritual direction. And so I meet with somebody, and so it's on Zoom. We're in that place. It's not very comfortable. I really like to go back, you know, and I just had this picture of a beautiful beach and this windy path, and I couldn't see the end. And so I like to see the end. I like to know where I'm going. I like to know what I'm doing. I like the end result. It's a bit more comfortable. But, you know, in his loving kindness, Jesus and I were sat on the beach, my very happy place, looking out to sea, and his gentle hand just pulling me back. Don't look forward, just trust. But, no, you just got to come back and just trust. Yeah, but really, no, just, and it was just so gentle, just his hand, my cheek, just pulling me back. And that's his invitation. He sits with us. He is so present with us. So present with us. And that's where our trust has to be. And that comes from our secret place of prayer. That comes from abiding in his presence. That comes from trusting and surrendering. And we're not the only ones that have to surrender. Jesus, as we've had communion, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine. So when we think of prayer, let's try not to always think of it as asking. Let's try not to think of it as always looking for his hand. He calls us into that secret place with him, where deep calls to deep. He knows all about us anyway. He knows all about my insecurities, so I'm now having to work on trust again. We think we've done some things, but it's just trusting in him. He knows all about us, our insecurities, all our fears, all our doubts, all the things that we don't want people to know about us, that we hide behind. He calls us to take our fig leaves off before him. And there we can be transformed. So let our lives be those like Jesus, lives of surrender to him. And as John Denning always used to say when life was tough, you can always trust the one that died for you. We can always trust the one that died for us. There's just a light-hearted song. It's just a short clip I'm going to end with. But the words are this. Make my life a prayer. Make my life a song. Make my life an offering to you. I want to pour it out. I'm like a jar of alabaster, broken to appoint my master. Precious oil, my life perfume, is all I have to bring. I see it gently trickle out into your hand, onto your gown. I spend it all, I give it all. I want to be an offering.